Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see all your smiling, beautiful faces. Excited to be here and praying that I will preach a good message. So I appreciate that because I want to do that. I want the Lord to be honored in what we do. If you would turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, I'm going to start verse 7 again. I think we did this last week. But we're going to touch on it again and maybe in a quite a different way. And we'll see what the Lord does with it. I'd really like to talk this morning about doing our part. You know, God always does his part. He's faithful, even when we're not. We need to learn to do our part so that he can do his part, because there's a lot more I think he wants to do in our lives, but I think we turn him off. Or we shut the door to where he can't really move and do what he wants. So it's important for us to get to the point, I think, to where we can free God up to work in our lives. A lot of things going on. And you know how you are a lot of times with your kids and they're growing up and your grandkids and that. You see them do something and you really like to help them, but they don't want you to help. You know, I'll do it. I'll do it. And no, you could do it in just a second. And, you know, but they can't, but they won't let you help. And I think sometimes we get that way with God. That we basically tell God, I'll do it myself. I'm okay. This is how I want it. So there's a lot of that. I've just talked to my grandson last night, and that's about the way it was. I don't know. He's about 25. You would think he'd think I'd know a little bit by now, but he's still not there yet. He might have to be 30 before he realizes that maybe I do make sense on some things. But anyway, doing our part. So very important. So let me read the text in 1 Peter chapter 4, starting with verse 7 again. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love one for another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold gift of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit would be able to open up your word to us, to give perfect understanding and clarity to what your will is and what your desire is. Help us, Lord, to see and to understand the importance of us doing our part and allowing you to do your part. So, Father, I thank you. Thank you for your love and how you never give up on us. I pray that we don't give up on ourselves or on each other. So we give you praise, Father, right now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, in verse 8 I read there, it said, love will cover a multitude of sin. You know, it was a while I didn't quite understand that, and I know I still don't have the full understanding, but have you thought about that? Verse 8, love will cover a multitude of sins. So I looked up some scriptures, and I've got them here. Proverbs 10:12 in the Amplified. Proverbs 10:12 says this about it. He said, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers and overwhelms all transgressions. Forgiving and overlooking another's faults. Now, that's hard to do sometimes, isn't it? But it's important to do. See, we need to learn to do our part. We need to get away from this hatred and this judgmentalness of people because they don't do it our way. Well, who knows? Maybe their way's better. So we shouldn't begrudge people. You know, I'm so glad that we need to believe and receive Jesus in our heart to be saved. But it doesn't say we all have to understand and believe scriptures like everybody else, because you have different religions and they have different understandings, different teachings. Not that it's all wrong, it's just sometimes different. And maybe sometimes is wrong, but yet they have Jesus in their lives and in their heart. So I thank God that I don't have to be perfect in that, because he makes me perfect because I have Jesus. So we don't have to be perfect in how we believe. We just need to believe the right things, that's for sure. And that is to have Jesus in our lives. So then in James 5:20 as well, it says this. It says, remember this, whoever turns a sinner back from the wrong way will save that sinner's soul from death and bring about the forgiveness of many sins. You see how important it is to just kind of love one another? It doesn't mean that we're overlooking where they're at, but we're coming alongside and trying to minister to them to change their ways. I say a lot of times we have to build a relationship in order to be able to do that. You know, I was thinking too about how it's important to build our church. And I know that everybody here wants to grow. And I kind of love you the way you are. You know what I mean? You get a lot more people, you got a lot more problems. Let me tell you. You're going to have more things going on. So I can say, you know, when you start growing, just get used to it. And so we've got to get this loving thing down. When we start growing, man, there's people that are going to come in here that are going to need a lot of love. A lot of love. And we got to be able to overlook the pink hair and the purple and, you know, and the tattoos, head to toe and earrings and all the things that go on in today's world. You know, we've got to adjust. You guys are kind of calm and cool right now. You know what I mean? You blend in well, but you're going to have others coming in. They're going to be a whole lot different. And so the Lord's wanting to prepare us for all of that. And the only thing is, I wish you would kind of see things maybe a little different on, you know, getting a younger pastor, that's all we need. Well, that's great. Maybe you will grow, but what kind of growth will you have? What kind of church will you have? Will you be close-knit? Will you be loving one another? I don't know. It depends on, rather than his age, what he believes and how he preaches. Amen? Is he filled with the Holy Spirit? Does he believe in the Holy Spirit? So there's a lot of variables in there. Then the Lord gave me this scripture. Psalms 127:1, and says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. And I'm not ready to labor in vain. So I want the Lord to build a house. And I think that's what the Lord is trying to do through all of us, and me sharing what I share is like, yeah, we want to grow and we're going to grow. But there's things we have to get together. Remember I said we need to do our part? Well, God's trying to get us ready. Because there's going to be a lot of things that are going to take place that are going to be variables. And some of you might just get disgusted at the time and maybe you quit coming. You know what? You don't know. That's why we got to learn to do things God's way. And we need to start now. 1 Peter 1:22 says this. Now because of our obedience to the truth, you have purified our very souls. And this empowers you to be full of love for your fellow believers. So express this sincere love toward one another passionately with a pure heart. So we need to work on it with faith, and that's how we do it. See, a lot of people are trying, you hear things and you try to do it on your own. I know I'm guilty of that. But see, the Lord wants us to learn to trust in Him, to do it through Him, to allow Him to work in our lives. So then it's no longer me, but it's Him. You know what I'm saying? See, my strength is in Him. It's not in me. I can last for a while, but I can't last forever. See, I can be strong today because I feel good. I'm not tired. You know what I mean? Energized. I'm ready to go. But I tell you what, later tonight, I'm not going to feel that good. I'm going to be tired, and it's kind of like I don't want to fool with it anymore. I think I want to go to bed. Do you ever notice how we get tired and hungry and other things happen, and pretty soon you're kind of out of the spiritual mood? That happens to me. But see, when you do it through the Lord and you use His strength and learn how to walk and let Him be God instead of us trying to be so good and be God. But that's something we need to learn to do. It's so important. Can I give you a testimony? It's going to take a little while, maybe. Tuesday, Charlene went to Bible study. And then she was going to go into town shopping, and she wasn't going to get home, usually the way it goes, 2 o'clock, maybe 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So I had been in the garage. I'd been working in there for a couple hours or so. And so I came into the house, and it's about 11 o'clock or so, a little after 11. And I kind of felt like heartburn, but in my chest. You know, you normally get heartburn. It's the acid reflux thing. I kind of felt like that in my chest area. And so I felt it a few times before in several months, but it would hit, it would come, and then it would go away right away. You know, I'm like, come on, what is this? You know, go away. And it would go. Well, Tuesday, it didn't go. And it got a little bit worse. And it wasn't pain, it was more of an irritation. You know? And it started to go kind of across my chest. And so I called Charlene. I said, are you going shopping? What time are you think you're going to be home, or where are you? And she says, well, I'll be there in about 10 minutes. I said, oh, okay. I'll see you then. And so we hung up, and she came home, and you know, the bubbly self she always is. Yeah, what'd you did you miss me, you know? And I said, well, yeah, but kind of having some pain in here. Oh, So she went up and got a baby aspirin. I took that. I said, well, what's one little baby aspirin going to do? I said, maybe give me another one. So she got me another one. I took two. Well, then after a few minutes after that, it started to subside. And I said, I have no idea what a heart attack feels like. And I don't know if that's anything. So I said, why don't we just go into the emergency room, have them check me out just for giggles, you know, grins and giggles or whatever they call it. And so we did. We went in and I went to my most unfavorite hospital, McLaren, because I heard so much bad about them. And so I went into the emergency room and she says, what can we do for you? And I went up to the window. I said, well, I think I'm having a heart attack. She looks at me like, really? So she says, all right, come on back. So I went back and they fill out the paperwork real fast, put me in a room, in the emergency room. And so I'm sitting in there and they're doing blood tests and different things. And the one nurse in there, at first I didn't know how to take him, but he was a good nurse. And he was talking to us about different things and how this works and whatnot. And since you're not really having much pain, you know, he says it's really no big deal. You probably don't even have any blockage or any problem at all. He says sometimes that happens. And so he's telling us all the process and that. And then he's telling me how some of the people that come in, how mean they are. And I'm like, wow, that's not good. You know, you don't beat up on the caretaker, right? So anyway, we're talking and I don't know what goes on, but see, I just preached to you guys about love on Sunday. See, I don't just tell and not do. And soon we were there and I was just determined, man, I'm just going to enjoy this. I'm going to enjoy the people, and I'm going to love on them. And we usually always do anyway. So anyway, they finally got a room up. When the blood test, it showed that I did have a little bit of a heart attack. There was a little of that enzyme in the blood. And so they said, we're going to admit you, but they're not going to do anything. Go in and check it out until tomorrow because it's kind of late now. It was, you know, after one. So this nurse that is down there, he said, well, I'll just wheel you up there myself. So he takes us all the way up and around, plus kind of gave us a tour. He was like a tour guide. And he was telling Charlene how she could go here and there and how to get back to the car, back through, because they were going to start locking doors and whatnot. So just the nicest guy. So we finally get to the room and they get me in the other bed there. And he's outside and I said, hey, thank you. I said, you do such a good job down there. And I said, you are really needed in the emergency room. And, you know, he turned around and he says, I want to thank you guys. He said, you're the nicest people I think we've ever had here. And he says, I want to tell you, it's my privilege to have seen you and to have cared for you. And he said, I'm going to miss you. As he left, I'm like, oh, okay. And so then our nurse was there, the night nurse came in, and I got to talk with her a little that night, because I told Charlene as just before they wheeled us out, I think after the emergency room, I said, God's got us here. I'm here to talk to somebody. We're here to meet. We're here for a purpose, not just for this. There's a purpose in this, and I knew it. Because God doesn't do things halfway. So this nurse come in and She's doing all of her checks and that. And finally, later that evening, I said to her, I said, "You're a singer, aren't you?" Lord just gave me some information so I could get into talking with her. And she says, "Oh, big time." You know, she kind of looked at me like, "How'd you know that?" And so I said, "Did you sing in church?" "Oh, yeah," she says. "I went to church with my mom and sisters, and they're about 4 hours away or so." And she said, "I haven't gone to church up here because I'm busy anyway, and I just don't feel comfortable doing that. So when I go back home, I'll go to church with the family." I said, "Oh, okay." So we started talking about some more, and she said, "Well, I'm going to be getting married here next year and stuff." And I said, "Well, does your future husband know the Lord? Did he go to church?" And she says, "Oh, no, he doesn't go." I said, "Really?" I said, "He's angry at the Lord, isn't he?" She said, "Yeah. Some things have happened," and I said, "He blames God for it." "Yeah. But I believe," see, like most of us do, "but I believe that he'll change." You don't get him to change for marriage. I doubt very seriously if you get him to change after marriage. "Oh, no, no, I believe." And she's, you know, a little bristly then. So I let it go. So I just prayed. I said, "Holy Spirit, if I've said the right thing and spoken to her heart," I said, "I ask that you would minister to her and then bring her back in with a different attitude." And so it wasn't an hour, she come back in, totally different attitude. She looked at me different, treated me different, in a good way. And you know, when we left, we were there two nights. That morning, Thursday morning when we left, she came in to say goodbye because her shift was over. And she said, "I'm really going to miss you." I grabbed her hand. And because, folks, you don't understand, with the Lord being in you and the giftings that you had, what a touch does. What just a tender touch does to an individual. So I just wanted to touch her hand. And my prayer was that the Lord would minister through that, just through a touch. And he did. And I invited her to church. I told her where we were at and what time. And she said, "If you ever want to talk," I said, "I want you to come down to the little church," told her where it was. And she says, I just might do that. And she was in her 20s, mid-20s or something like that, I guess. But she had to hurry up and duck out because she began to cry. She was tearing up because we were leaving. So I'm going to miss you. But we got to talk. And then the day before, when she left the first time, and a new nurse came in. And it's like, uh-oh, she's different. So at McLaren, they do everything, I say wrong, but their way. And so I said, "Here, it's almost 9 o'clock. And I said, "Could you maybe give me my medication now, you know?" She said, "Oh, no, we don't do that till 9:30, 10 o'clock. I said, "Well, at home, I'm used to doing it at 5 or 5:30, 6 o'clock in there." She said, "Well, I don't care what you do at home." "We do it 9:30, 10 o'clock here." I'm like, okay. And you know, the funny thing is, something rose up in me. And it wasn't real pretty. But I hushed it. I said, "No, I'm not going there." And so we just let it go. Well, anyway, I went down for the procedure and everything, and what a trip that was. Folks, I want to tell you, this whole 2 days in the hospital was like going on vacation. I've never had so much fun. Seriously. And even the procedure when I went down to do the cardiac thing. You know, there were four of them in there working and doing different things. And even during the procedure, I said, boy, you guys are so good and proficient at what you do. I said, I feel so comfortable around you because I know that you're adequate and you're taking good care of me. I said, I so appreciate that. Then afterwards, you know, I said, oh, you guys made it so easy. And so I said, thank you. You are doing a great job and you're so needed. And I was just being truthful. You know, I'm not trying to butter anybody up. I'm appreciative of all that they did. And so anyway, they had to go in through the groin and they couldn't, I guess it wouldn't stop the bleeding right away. So they just kind of pinched it off and, you know, sent me up to the room and they said, we'll send somebody up in a couple of hours to try to stop the bleeding. Because they pumped me so much, so full of that heparin. My night nurse, she came running in at 2 o'clock in the morning. She said, oh, I got to turn your heparin down. She said, your blood is like water. I'm like, oh, that makes me feel good. So she says, if you have to get up and go to the bathroom, she says, you ring that buzzer. Don't you dare get out of this bed without me. Because she was worried that if I happened to fall or something, I could have bled out. And so she turned it down. And so now that heparin is, my blood is so thin. So they came up 2 hours later, all four of them. Now one jumped up on the bed and he tore that thing off. And then he puts all of his weight just in that one spot. And I mean, he's pushing. And I'm like, oh. But I never complained because I knew it had to be done. And so 30 minutes he had to hold that kind of pressure on me. When he was done, he says, I can see my fingerprints. I said, well, I can too. I can feel them. But all four of them stayed up there, what, for almost an hour? They said, we're just killing time. We just wanted to be with you guys. So we had a party. My two daughters were there. Charlene was there. I'm in the bed, and I got four attendants around me. And they're all joking. They're talking about doing their nails from Mexico. And there was such a godly peace in the room that it drew people. And they didn't want to leave. Folks, I'm going to tell you, as old as I am, and what people think about age, that young is better. I think if we'd have stayed another night, we could have started a church right there in the hospital. Seriously. But that was God. And the grumpy old nurse? Oh, we won her heart over too. God is so good. When I came back from my procedure, I was hungry. Because I couldn't eat for a while. So Sherry went to Culver's to get, because I wanted a chicken sandwich. So they went and got me a chicken sandwich, and then they brought back a thing of custard. And it was a double strawberry special. And so when they came back, it was there, and that old grumpy nurse came in. Oh, what you guys eating? And she says, oh, that, you know, they said, well, we've got these sandwiches and then we've got this yogurt. Oh, she says, I hear they have the best yogurt, our custard. She said, it's just the best. And so I said, well, would you want some? Oh, no, I couldn't do that. No, I said, take mine. And my other daughter said, well, I got the larger one, so I'll eat what I want and I'll give you what's left. And I said, that's good for me. So I said, take that over and give it to her. So they took it over and gave it to her. Oh, no, she's grabbing it. No, I shouldn't take it. And then she ate it. And then she's telling all the other nurses how I gave her. She had yogurt and everything, or custard in our room and everything. Do you know she would come in just to make sure my covers were right? She didn't come in to do vitals. She came in just to be with us. And she would kind of straighten my cover to be down here, and she'd pull it over and straighten them up on me, and she'd be talking, and oh boy, that was sure good, you know. But it's just to say, folks, if we learn how to love and not criticize and condemn people for how they are at the moment, but if we'll love them in spite of themselves, and I mean in love, where we sacrificed and gave her ice cream, whatever it takes. And God used that to just change her. Folks, when we left, people were saying, you're the best group. You're the best patient we've ever had. But see, that's God. That's not us. See, our dependency is on God. And I put it all in the Lord's hand. And that's why I say we had such a good time. The only hard time I had was laying still for 10 or 12 hours on my back, which I cannot lay on my back without getting back pain. And I had to do that for like 12 hours, 6 of it without moving. And my little nurse at night, she says, "Now I know you can do it, Jim. I know you can do it." She says, I just know you can." And I'm like, "I don't know about that." You know, I'm hurting. And then she tried to make me stay. She wanted me to go an extra 40 minutes. I said, "You'd be lucky if you get me to do the 4 hours. Don't add another 40 to it, because that's not happening." "Oh, you can do it." I said, "When 10 o'clock rolls around, I'm out of here. I'm out of this bed." She says, "Well, don't do that." She says, "I'll be here to help you." I said, "Okay." But folks, it's just the thing. If you just let God be God, He'll do wonders. He'll change bad situations. Everybody else probably would have been worried and concerned about. I wasn't worried about anything. We felt so blessed. It was such an honor just to see God move in people's lives as we just did our part. And that's all we did. We did our part. And God does His part. We were just so blessed. I would love to do that again. I almost wish we would have stayed there for a week. Things were going so good. But I'm telling you, after 3 days, we could have started a church in the hospital because of God. I went over my time, but I wanted to share that. I'm just so excited to watch God move. And all I had to do was be nice. Yeah, that was a hard thing, but I did it, I think, for a while anyway. But do y'all understand what I'm trying to say to you, what God is trying to tell us about us doing our part and learning how to love? Nobody's perfect like us. So we got to get over that, right? We can love them in spite of themselves. But we got to learn to love, true love. Not just, "Oh, how you doing?" And then we're, you know, shake hands. And after that, "Oh, man, glad that's over." So there's things that we have to do. I got so many more scriptures to give you, but I'm going to quit there. I'm just praying that you understand. what God is trying to show us and teach us. We serve a big God, folks, and he doesn't need us trying to take his place. See, he gives us gifts, and if you learn to love people the way God loves people, those gifts will flourish in you to them. And you'll change lives. God will change lives just because you did your part. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the miracles that you did, even in the hospital. Father, I thank you that Dakota was so amazed. He said, you just don't hear things like that, that you had a good time in the hospital. But Father, we did. Because of you. Lord, we did our little part, and you did your big part. Thank you, Father. Lord, I lift them all up to nurses and that all up to you. Bless them in a special way, I pray. And Father, I pray that we all truly understand what you're trying to tell us about love. Lord, let us love, and we thank you for that. Let us love as you loved. We thank you in Jesus' name. Let me read this blessing over you if you'd let me. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Amen.